The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And John went all around the region, around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough waves made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This morning, I originally had planned to preach on Family Promise and homelessness in our community. Family Promise, an organization, collaboration of different churches that help house homeless families, is a fantastic program. And I invite you, we have the calendar of volunteers out there. I invite you to either to sign up on that calendar or to either talk to John or Adrian for an interest list. Because you see, the leaders of Family Promise in our congregation would like to start a mentorship program for anyone who's just thinking about, well, what does Family Promise mean, to teach them of how to care for these families. Sign up on the interest list. You're not committing to anything. We are going to have an open house dinner after the new year at St. Paul, where we can show the facility, where we can show what we do and how we do it. However, due to the events in the past week and my own struggle for answers, I feel it necessary to shift attention to another topic. There have been two serious mass shootings in our country in less than 1 week. One in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where a man walked into a Planned Parenthood clinic, killing three and injuring nine. And the other in San Bernardino, California, where a husband and wife walked into a county health department office during a holiday party and shot 14 and injuring 17. The San Bernardino shooting, according to the Washington Post, is the 355th shooting this last year, mass shooting. It's just announced by the FBI that this particular tragedy is now being linked to radical terrorism overseas. It leaves, I think, myself and many of us speechless and shocked. And I wonder, how can we think about these tragedies? How should we think? How can we think in a new way? How do we respond to innocent lives being lost in such senseless violence? How do we move forward? John the Baptist went into all the region around Jordan, says our gospel, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. For anyone to hate another person so much that they walk into a public establishment and shoot another person point blank is beyond my understanding and definitely crooked. And I feel connected to these events somehow. No, not responsible for them as such, but connected to them. These innocent people could have been my friends. They could have been my family. They could have been my neighbors. They could have been me. And so I find myself crying out because I don't know what else to do, saying, "Make our paths straight, O God. Make me straight, O God. For we desperately need some paths to be straightened out. In times like this, I find myself being drawn to the nature of repentance. John the Baptist went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And sometimes I think about repenting as feeling sorry, for I do feel sorry about what happened. I feel sorry, and I know that others feel sorry too about the tragic events. And we hear a lot of times in our society, different lines of our prayers are with you, or we feel sorry that this happened. But I feel that feeling sorry also leaves us empty. It also leaves us wondering, what's next? And actually, if you look at the translation of repentance in our Bible today, in the Greek language, feeling sorry, as is an important aspect of repentance, is also not the entire thing. Repentance, metanoia, as it is in Greek, it's not mere regret of past misdeeds or events. But metanoia means something actually quite deeper. It means a radical change of mind and of body and of heart. Another fair way of translating it would be a change of identity. To repent from this event is to acknowledge our identity has actually changed, transformed. But what does this transformation look like? Well, that's the hard question. I think a place perhaps for Christians to start is in our own tradition, and that is in the very nature of the sacrament of baptism, the washing of water and the marking on the cross on the forehead. For those of you who have been baptized, especially in the Lutheran Church, the pastor says before the sacrament is given, God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. We are reminded and seen from the tradition of the sacrament, the holy sacrament of baptism, that we are marked as children of God. But we are also released from an old life into a new life, a new birth of living hope. And it is in this new life where we dwell, and God dwells with us as children of God. And this word release, you know, it's also a very interesting word in Greek, ephesis. It's the same word that Jesus uses twice, a couple chapters after our gospel lesson in chapter 4, when Jesus describes his mission. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives and to let the oppressed go free." Ephesis. Release is important too. It's a part of repentance in a huge way. For the release or forgiveness that follows repentance does not mean that the evils or the sins don't exist anymore. But it means that we're released to look forward. We're unbound from them, to look beyond them, to act in a different way, in a new identity. For us, and maybe even for large portions of our society, I think it will take a real repentance in light of this tragedy. Repentance that changes identities. Repentance that points to new life beyond ourselves. Repentance that releases us from overwhelming apathy in order for peace and understanding to happen. But again, what does this mean for us, our Savior's Lutheran Church in Bonner? This idea of repentance on the ground. I'll be honest with you, I don't have all the answers. Far from it. But I do want to speak to a phrase that I've seen this past week that I think points to something new. It's, now bear with me, because it's a phrase that came out of the 1970s peace movement. A little bit hippy-dippy, but I like it. And that is, peace begins with me. Peace begins with me. I think this reveals to us in a radical way our calling in this new baptismal life of repentance. Danya, a friend of mine who's a Muslim, part of the United Religions Initiative Leadership Council, in fact, she was here just a couple of weeks ago worshiping with us when the URI was here. Some of you may have met her. About 10 years ago, Danya's daughter was killed. She was driving home in a snowstorm in Albany, New York, and couldn't see the road very well. There was a construction just before one of the bridges that crosses the Mohawk River in Albany. And there were multiple barriers that were in the road, one of which was called a broadside barrier, in which Danya's daughter hit. And it catapulted her car off the bridge and into the river. After months and months of agonizing grief, and blaming herself, Danya talks about through her faith was released from this agony and began a campaign, single-handedly walking up to the New York State Legislature to, in an effort to ban these broadside construction barriers that were known to have this defect of catapulting cars when hit at high speeds. In fact, there's record of her saying, when she gives testimony to the legislature, saying, "No one else should go through what I went through. If one life is saved," she says, "from taking these barriers off the road, then my effort is worth it." And her effort paid off. In fact, those barriers, broadside barriers, are now illegal in the state of New York and in many other states around our country. Peace begins with me. Danya revealed for me what a transformation looks like. Can our Savior's Lutheran single-handedly stop all gun violence and terrorism? Probably not. But can we volunteer with troubled youth? Can we write a letter to the newspaper or to a congressperson or vote for candidates who will enact fair laws or simply pay attention to someone telling a story along the street? I think we can. Peace begins with me. And this is what Advent is about. The everlasting hope. The everlasting love that Christ reveals in us and through us. And as the Apostle Paul prays, and this is my prayer, he writes in our New Testament reading, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full of insight. May we grasp on to that hope, awaiting the coming of our Savior, that hope that is making a difference, that hope that is love. And may that release us from the past and show us the everlasting love. And may that love and peace begin with us. Amen.